Good morning. Yes, it's good to see everyone here. It is. Look at that. I've never seen you before this morning, but I saw you now this morning, this first time this morning. Whatever. It's good to see you. I see some folks that's not been here for a while. Good to have you back. Feeling better? Starting to come through the other side of it now. Got to the rough side. Now the easier side's coming through. That's good. We're glad that Roland's feeling better and back with us. And all those that haven't been with us, and for whatever reasons, we're glad you're back and visiting or with us. If you've not been here before, we are glad you're visiting with us. I see this here in front of me, Mighty Men of God. This is the retreat that's going to be for the men. Pastor set that up. It's September 29th, 6 through 9, and then September 30th. It's in two sessions. Girls, you didn't get rid of them for the night. They're going to send them home. So it's not one of those retreats where they're going to spend the night. So they'll be trucking in sometime around 10 o'clock, telling you all the fun they had. So prime timers this week. Don't forget to let them know if you're going to be a part of that so that they can... The menu, I think, is steak. Yeah. Baked steak? Baked steak. Okay, so if you want to make sure that you have your quarter pound there, let the girls know, either, Donna, let Donna know. So, Grandparents' Day. How about that? Did you know that today? No. Today is Grandparents' Day. And so if you're a grandparent, if your kids haven't sent you something, if your grandkids haven't sent you something, say shame on you. All those years I took care of you, all those Christmas cards I bought you and all that, and you couldn't buy me a grandparent card? Work on them. Get something out of it. You know, make it worth your while. So... anyway, happy Grandparents' Day. We all know, those of us that are grandparents, how fun and joyous that is. So keep that in mind. Thank you for the coats. This was the last day we're collecting coats. So if you have any other coats, we'll have to find something to do with them, because this group will be leaving out this week. Well, get them in. We'll try to get them out there, Larry. But make sure they try to get in this week, and we'll take care of those. For the first time in a while, since they took their summer break, the choir will be meeting again this Thursday at 6:30. So, and believe it or not, are you getting ready for the Christmas program already? You know, can you believe that? They're getting ready for the Christmas program already. Yes. So we always have such a wonderful program here at Christmas time. I mean, people come that don't come to church or any other time except to hear our Christmas musicals. So we can really look forward to another good one this year. And if you want to be a part of that, if you want to be up here and sing in the choir, come and be a part of that this Thursday at 6:30. So, well, other than that, I just want to say the other thing that happens this week. Today is September 10th. Oh, okay. I will. Thank you. Thank you. I've forgotten about that one myself. Mission conference next Sunday. So what we do, we always have some missionaries that we support. One of the groups we support is two of the groups, whatever we can get, come in. We use the Sunday school hour. We used, worship time, some of it, and then we have after worship time, we have a little stay right here because we have a lunch for you. And then after that, then they have another session with the missionary, the chosen missionary, to speak to you one-on-one, and you can share with them and talk with them. It's a real good time to know and learn a little bit more about the missionaries that we support here in this organization, some of them. So that'll be next week. Is there a sign up for that? I don't know. Was there a sign up for that at all?
There's no sign up. They're not taking the Sunday school hour. We're doing it during the
service. You're not going to do the Sunday school hour this time?
They have 5 minutes during the service, and they'll have a
okay.
talk after.
Okay. All righty. So, again, this is September 10th. Tomorrow is September 11th. So, again, just keep in mind all those families that, that went through those tragedies. We still have, as a nation, I remember as a nation how the churches filled up. You know, the churches filled up. Everybody was recognizing the preciousness of life. They were recognizing the need of God's protection and the value of loved ones, and that those that protect and served, and those that the good things they were doing, the medical people and all that. So let's pray that somehow or another, without the tragedy, we can find ourselves back in that place where we realize the goodness of God and the greatness of this country. Thank you so much. And here you go.
Oh, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. It's good to see everybody this morning. Now, let's stand and sing, shall we? Let's lift our voices in praise. We will glorify.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. So wondrously saved from sin, Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in, glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood. Today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Let's read together, shall we? From Psalms. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's amazing, isn't it? The amazing grace of God. Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, his word my hope secures. He will my sheep and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are cold, Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rains, ending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun bear to shine. But God, we here below will be forever. Father, we are your children this morning. We've been drawn by your love, by the Father. Lord, it's good to be in your house today. It's good to sing your praises. It's good to look into your face and realize afresh and anew what you've done for each one of us. Give us a vision to reach the people that don't know you. Use us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thinking about 9/11, we were in Australia at that time, and our friends called us and said, turn on the TV, and we turned the TV on. We thought, this isn't real. This is like a fake thing. This is like, you know, some show that they're putting on or something. And then we just kept watching and watching and watching, realizing the events that had taken place, you know, that there had been a terrorist attack on U.S. soil, and the people that died and the ones who saved the Capitol basically by making their plane crash, I think it was in Pennsylvania. And, you know, people in the tower that were talking to family members knowing they weren't going to make it out. And then the first responders who had went in and helped, and now those who had been sick from those kind of things, and just the, you know, terrible things that happened in the world. But like Russ said, God brought people back to the church at that time, and then we get complacent, we forget about it, and then we can see how the Israelites, you know, had their ups and downs, followed God, and then they went their way, and then followed God, and then went their way. And, you know, we do that a lot of times as people. You know, we take things for granted, our family, our friends, our country, you know, our freedoms that we have and all the things that we have. And sometimes we just get complacent even in standing up for things we should stand up against. And there's a lot of things that are happening that we need to be saying these are not right. And we need to get back to where God wants us to be. We know the world's going to get worse, and Christians need to be even stronger in their faith. And letting people know, you know, we want you to come to heaven. We want you to be there with us. It's their choice, but we may have a part in that choice for them as we are examples for him. So just think about 9/11, you know, think about the families that are, every time this day comes around, that comes to their mind. You know, so as you're thinking about that, pray for them this morning. I know Roxanne is home. She's recovering, so Brian stayed home with her this morning. Jesse Dennis is having some issues. I think she's in the hospital right now, so pray for her. And we have other ones, you know, that are not doing well, so pray for them. But I was going to mention it about the men's retreat. Russ mentioned it, but it's going to be we made it a little shorter retreat, you know, because we know men's attention spans are kind of small. So from 6 to 9 on the 29th, which is a Friday evening, we're going to have some kind of food, and then we'll have a talk and then some games and things like that, and then you'll be able to sleep in your own bed, because I don't want to hear you snore, and you don't want to hear me either, so you can snore at your own place and then come back in. And then 9 o'clock, we'll have some activities again. We'll have a continental breakfast, so if you want more than that, eat before you come. And then we'll have a lunch, and then some talks and some activities and things be done by 2 o'clock, so that way if there's no Ohio State game for you to worry about watching, but the Michigan game, you can watch that if you get home in time. So I don't even know what time it's on, but anyway, any of those kind of things. So anybody, I have a praise this week that my daughter got in a car crash last week and messed up the whole front end of her car. And we got it almost mostly back together at this point. The insurance wouldn't cover it because she was the last one in line, and we didn't have full coverage on it. So it was nobody's fault, which I don't know how it's nobody's fault, but it's nobody's fault. So they were going to charge us $8,000. To fix that, and we didn't pay that for the car. So we got all the parts, and I think we can do it for like $1,200. So that's almost ready to be back together for her to drive. She had a sore neck, but she didn't get hurt. So that was a good thing for that. So that was a praise for that. So anybody else have any praises this morning? We share praises to let people know what God's doing. He's protecting us, watching over us, helping us through. And then we share our prayer concerns so we can pray together as a group. And one answer to prayer, I prayed for my mom, remember, about the insurance claim. They weren't going to cover it, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, my sister's been pretty adamant about getting on them, and they talked to the judge or whatever happened, and then they're going to cover her stay in the place. It would have been like $12,000 if they didn't cover it. So there's an answer to prayer. They're going to cover that cost, so that was good.
I just want to praise the Lord for our Saturday morning online Bible studies with Chris. I have enjoyed getting to know Kelly and some of these other women, Jesse. Judy's not in here today, but who else comes? Okay, yeah. So Kathy is in Georgia. Yeah, we have a group, but we have so much fun, and I love it. And I have loved our study on Genesis. you wouldn't think, you know, I've read through the Bible, and I've read through it where I really paid attention, and I've read through it when I didn't, I'll be honest. But, you know, just to kind of complete the daily thing. But I just love the way that the Lord has used Chris to bring through truths of the word and that are applicable for today. It's not just a history lesson of what happened in the Bible in Genesis, but we were just challenged in so many ways yesterday. And I woke up this morning at like 4:30 in the morning, and I always, when I do that, it's like, okay, God, what am I up for? What's the purpose here? So I did what you're not supposed to do, and I got my phone, and I started reading through. I have several devotions in my email, and I was talking to Joy last week, and she'll relate to this, but this little devotional, it said, is based on John 14, but it says, what assignment has God given you? Would you ask him? I know he has one in mind for you because he has told us clearly through his word, through the words of the Apostle Paul, that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So don't dodge your assignment because it seems to lack any chance for success. Don't miss your assignment because it seems such an insignificant small thing. And it goes on. But I was just like, okay, here we are. What do you want me to do? And we kind of talked about this in our Genesis study yesterday. And it just kind of gripped my heart. And there's been something that the Lord's been putting on my heart. And I talked to Chris about it last year, and I'm like, okay, it's time for me to move. It's time for me to move forward with this. And I'm not going to share with you yet because I feel like Chris and I need to touch base and we need to go forward. But I'm thankful for God's word, thankful for the women that I've had the chance to get to know. And even, I was just thinking, Kelly came over today. And this is the second time I've done this, but this little thing that I have, I continue to put it on backwards. And so the tag's sticking out. She comes over and she says, you have your shirt or whatever this is on backwards. And I'm just like, I love it when God's people just are there for one another. And we just kind of pick up the slack. And one of the other joys of getting older is the fact that we can just accept these things and say, okay, thank you.
Anybody else? They're back.
Hi, we're trying it today. I just want to thank you all for your many prayers. God is really working, and we are just delighted to still be here and still making progress. But thank you. God bless you all.
Well, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here again this Sunday. You're here safe, and you got us in the place you want us to be today. We know it's not a coincidence that we're here, but you brought us here for a purpose. Help us to be open to you, what you want to say to us, Lord, whether it's through the music or the message or the devotion or the sharing, whatever it may be, that we can be used by you. You can change us and mold us and make us into what you want us to be and lead us to the place where we're supposed to be used. We just pray for your guidance and your direction, that you would just help us to know where we're supposed to be and then give us the courage to do what you want us to do. Thanks for guiding us and directing us through our lives, through circumstances, through our God encounters, where we encounter you and you let us know and you tell us things, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. Encourage us, help us, love us. And I just pray for these different requests this morning, Lord, that we mentioned and those that we didn't mention that you know of, that you would guide and direct us. I know Roger's been sick and Peggy's been sick and different ones, Lord, have been going on. And people with neuropathy and all these different things we have, financial issues and migraines and surgeries and colds and sickness and all these things that are happening to us, Lord, and depression. And we know we're in a world, Lord, that's kind of falling apart. We know no matter what, you're the rock that we can stand on. So we ask you to give us courage, help us to hold on and trust in you, and to be able to shine bright in this world that's succumbing to darkness. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. People that try to take over, I'm telling you, you got to just sit them down a little bit here. As we're passing out the elements, just take a moment and ask God what he has for you in your life. You need to get close to him, so ask him how he wants you to do that. Maybe you've drifted away or kind of gone your way and not his way. We'll just wait for Russ to get back from it. He's going to the nursery for the people in the nursery. So just think about what God's done for you. Where would you be today without him? Would you make it through? Be able to go through those hard times? Close calls. Would you be with the person you're with today if it wasn't for him? Or would you have made a big mistake? Would you be forgiven without him? Would you be barreling down the path to hell? I don't say hell much except cussing, but it is a real place. And the sad thing is people are going to go there, but hopefully we can have a part in giving them a different direction with the Lord. Thanks, Russ. Isn't Russ a good guy? Russ is a good guy. Bible says the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. He said, this is my body, take and eat, do this in remembrance of me. So as we take the bread and eat, we remember that Christ's body was broken for us. So let's take and eat. And he took our place on that cross. I can't imagine pain and suffering he went through, but he did it for us, knowing who we were someday before we were born. He knew us, what we're going to be like, and he decided to die for us anyway. So I just appreciate that. Took the cup, said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink this in remembrance of me. So we take the blood, the juice and drink, remembering him. That his blood was shed for us. But he didn't stay in the grave, did he? He rose, and that's what makes him the Lord. Defeated sin and death, and gave us the power to overcome. Jesus, thank you for this morning, for being with us. Time remembrance, as we remember what you did for us, as we take communion this morning, not forgetting that you suffered and died for us, and that we are your servants, as we live for you, in Jesus' name, amen. Now it's Holly and Joy.
So thankful for the Lord and all that he's done. I think about Calvary many times, that suffering he went through for us, that we could have eternal life. And I'm thankful today that no matter if we're on the mountain or in the valley, he's still the God who loves us, and he's still able to help us. That's what we're going to sing about, the God on the mountain.
Up on the mountain, you got peace of mind like you've never known. But down in the valley of life and temptation, and I could we start that again because I just lost my place. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Which proves I'm human.
That's right.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change. You're down in the valley. That's when you, what is your faith is really put to the test.
For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night.
You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. Oh, but the talk comes easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptations, that's when faith is really put to the test.
For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night.
Oh, the God of the day
is still God in the night.
And he forgives us for all our mistakes.
You know, I just want to say one more thing about the nighttime. I work 15 years nights. And as I went to work 10 o'clock at night, came home around 3 or 4 a.m., it was such a beautiful night, and the Lord always reminded me that he was the God of the night too. I never forget that and how beautiful the sky was. So just wanted to share that.
That's hard to do to get up here and sing, you know. Especially if you lose your place or mispronounce your words or whatever it may be. I used to always use electronic technology doing messages until one time it disappeared. So now I just have it all written out, and I don't always follow it. So sometimes you'll say, can I have that message? And I'll give it to you, and it's not exactly the same one that I preached. But that's, you know, as close as you're going to get to it. But well, think about it. There are many times in the Bible where people have had a personal encounter with God, where God actually spoke to them, whether it's verbally or in some instance or circumstance or through someone else. But he orchestrates our circumstances for good. Preparing the message this week, and I thought to myself, you know, who was the first one who had the first God encounter? Who had the first encounter with God? Well, we look in Genesis 2:7, it said, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Here's a holy moment, isn't it? Think of that. You got a pile of dust. He puts it together, and he breathes his breath into the man's nostrils, the breath of life. And I think Adam probably woke up and God was there face to face and he looked at him. And then God probably said, you know, you're my creation. I created you. Now go and do good things. That kind of makes me chuckle because we used to say to our son Josiah, I shouldn't say his name, it's one of my sons. You say, do good things. He used to go, do bad things, do bad things. I say, no, Josiah, do good things. He's not here this morning, so he doesn't know what I said that. But then in Genesis 6:9 through 15, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. He walked faithfully with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence, and God saw how corrupt the earth had become. For all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. Kind of like today, right? Maybe even worse today, I don't know. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out, and this is how you'll build it. So think about that. The earth was corrupt, and God wasn't happy, was he? Wasn't happy with it. The Bible says Noah was a righteous man. In verse 13, he had an encounter with God. It says that God spoke to Noah and told him what to do and how to do it. So I don't know if that was an audible thing or if it was a thing he put in his mind. I'm not sure. God can do it any way he wants, can he, when he speaks to us. And he says, this is what I want you to do, and these are the instructions. So did God guide him in his thoughts, or did God actually speak to him and say, this is what I want you to do? I'm going to share a story that my wife told a while ago. And I probably don't tell it exactly the way he told it, but just sit there quietly. She was in the hospital visiting somebody from our church, and we lived in Michigan. And she was getting ready to leave, and she's walking down the hallway, and she heard a voice say, visit Blanche Daniels. She looked around like, there's nobody here. So she started to go on, kept walking. She heard it again, visit Blanche Daniels. She was thinking in her mind, I don't even know if Blanche Daniels is in this hospital. She heard it again, so she went to the information desk and said, is Blanche Daniels in this hospital? And they said, yeah, she is. So she found out the room number, went to visit Blanche Daniels, and they sat on the edge of the bed, and they talked and had a good visit. And then she went home. And we got a call later on, either that evening or the next day, said that Blanche had passed away. But she was the last one to visit Blanche Daniels, so God used that, spoke to her and said, I want you to go visit her before she comes home. So she went to her heavenly home, and my wife got a chance to speak with her and talk and laugh and have all kinds of a visit there. And those are her remaining moments that she was here, and she didn't know it was her last time. Blanche didn't know that, but God knew that, and he said, I need you to go talk to her. Maybe you've had a time like that where God told you to do something, and you thought, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would I do that? But then you did it anyway. But the reality is that those kind of moments happen more than we think about. You know, we may say, oh, that was luck or that was chance. There's no such thing as luck and chance. God knows all these things that are happening. And there's moments that surround an event or maybe happening that cause things to happen that were beyond our control. Some people say it's fate or chance or a random accident or a coincidence that these things happen. But there's no such thing as luck. Some people say, well, the stars aligned just right, and then when that happened, you know, this caused this to happen. Well, that's we'll go to the second choice. Some people say when the stars aligned, things happen. I don't know where you left off. Anyway. But we know that God has all things in control. He's all powerful, all knowing. He knows the rules of the universe. He created them. And we have God encounters that define moments where we're at the hand of God or in the hand of God, where he protects us or moves us or helps us or pushes us out of the way, whatever it may be that he does kinds of things. And those circumstances can change us. From that point on, we can be different than we've been before. Or we can be something new that we should have been before. Or we can stop doing something that we shouldn't have done that he does for us. There's a few more encounters we can look at. In Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. And we'll be a blessing. And you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife, Sarah, or Sarai at that time, his Lot nephew, all the possessions they had accumulated, and all the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for a land of Canaan, and they arrived there. So again, we see the Lord speaking to somebody, right? Telling him to do something. And I think about this, I think this dude is 75 years old. Does he want to move? No, he wants to stay in the house he's been in for however many years, right? Or the place he's been. He's got all his friends, family, everything else. And yet God says, take all the stuff you have, including your family, and move somewhere else. So can you imagine how it would have been then? They didn't have U-Haul, right? They just had to gather their stuff, pick it up, and walk and carry it. Or whatever it was, to move to another place, to a land he'd probably hadn't been or didn't want to necessarily go to, but God said, go there. And he also tells him things will be incredible. He says, I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you. Now, at that point, you say, wait a minute, doesn't God know this guy's 75 years old? How are you going to be a great nation? You're on, you're on the other side, right? You're heading downhill at this point. Top of that, his wife was barren. She couldn't have kids. But the thing I notice is Abram doesn't say, how's that going to happen? You don't hear him say, God, that's impossible. You can't do that. I don't see that he said anything. And then he says, as God's still speaking to him, I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham's name's going to be great. It's going to be Abraham. He'll be a blessing to those who bless him. And if anybody curses him, they'll be cursed. Wouldn't that be nice? Anybody curses you and they're cursed? Like, you better not curse me because you're going to be cursed. But that doesn't happen nowadays. They just curse you and you just like, okay, I don't know. But if that's not enough, he tells them that he will be a blessing to all the people on earth. That's kind of cool and it's kind of responsibility as well, isn't it? Like, I'm going to be a blessing to all these people. How's that going to happen? But we don't see him asking those questions. He just says, God, and okay, I'll just do what you want me to do, and it'll happen. So it was an amazing encounter, and God told him amazing things that were going to happen that didn't happen. And it doesn't say anybody else heard it. So part of the thing when God speaks, somebody else doesn't always hear it. And they're like, what are you doing? If my wife would have told somebody, you know, somebody told me to go visit Blanche Daniels, they would have said, are you nuts? There's nobody in the hallway but you. But she heard him. She said, no, God told me that. And that's the thing about faith. When you say, God tells me to do it, and you know it's him, it doesn't matter what everybody else says. If God tells you to do it, I can imagine Abram's family and wife saying, what is wrong with you? Why are we moving? And God said, well, I didn't hear it. Well, it doesn't matter if you heard it, didn't hear it. But God told me, so we're going to move. And then you just do it. So we can easily see how God's working in the moments, and we can cherish it. And we can see God in those things, but rarely do we see God in difficult times in our life. But there are times that come when God's there too, tells us things or protects us or does whatever. So we look in Daniel chapter 6, familiar story, starting in 16. Says, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. The king had made a proclamation, but he couldn't change it. And you know the other people tricked him because he didn't really like Daniel. They were jealous of him. So they had him thrown in the lion's den. Stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so Daniel's situation might not be changed. The king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him, and he couldn't sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? And Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. When Daniel was lifted out from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. So no matter how you look at it, Daniel was in a predicament, wasn't he? But he didn't scream and flail around on the ground and complain and whatever, did he? Doesn't say he did any of that. Put him in the lines, then I'd be like freaking out, you know, fighting him, trying to get off, anything I could do. They have to bind me up, throw me in. But he didn't do that. They put him in there. And the officials that put him there were jealous because he prayed three times a day. They tricked the king. But the thing that's interesting, you look at the last part of it, in the midst of his trouble, in the full of hungry lions, there was a godly encounter where God sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions. I don't know what it looked like. There's a picture of somebody's depiction of what it was like. Lions are probably there drooling and growling, but they didn't get to him. And he stood there. And it doesn't say that he freaked out. I'm sure he was thanking the Lord that he's protected. And it said he was a righteous man. He was a good man. He didn't do anything wrong. And it says he trusted in God. But here's the end of the story. Those guys that had him thrown in there, guess what happened to them? You probably know, right? They were thrown in. Their wives were thrown in, and their kids were thrown in. They said before they hit the ground, they were torn apart. So it wasn't some kind of magic trick or illusion, right? The lions were hungry, but God just kept them away so they couldn't touch him. But that's what would have happened to him had God not been there, had he not trusted in the Lord. They were evil. They didn't honor the Lord. And Daniel had a godly encounter from an angel. You ever had a time when you felt God sent an angel to protect you? Circumstance, situation, whatever it may be. I can remember a time when God protected me when I was driving. Icy roads, foggy windshield, crazy drivers, whatever. But a few months ago, I was driving through a neighborhood. I don't know if I told my wife this or not yet, but she'll find out. So driving through a neighborhood, and I turned to go to a different road. And as I was driving along, I couldn't see a thing because I didn't want to wipe my windshield off. I can see through this. You know how we do that sometimes? You probably don't do that, but sometimes I do. Or you just squeak a little hole out so you can see. So I'm driving along, and then I'm just about to the corner, and I'm thinking, I think my neighbor parks his car here somewhere, truck here somewhere. So I hit my brakes, and I stopped. And I looked, cleaned my window off, and I was probably 2 inches from hitting this guy's bumper of his truck. What luck. No, I think God said to me, hey, stupid, wake up. This guy usually parks his truck here, and you can't even see. And I stopped. I didn't hit his truck, cleared it off, and drove around. But sometimes we say, oh, that was so lucky. That's not lucky. That's a God encounter where he says to you, you know, wake up. Look, there's something in front of you. Even though I couldn't see it, I just knew it was there. And I stopped before I hit it. So he protects us in those cases. You probably go through all kinds of things in your life where you know God protected you from something, whether it was not getting to a certain place at a certain time so you avoided an accident, or whether you swerved at the right time or something just missed you or whatever it may have been, something you did dumb that God said, I'm going to protect this person because they did something dumb. You probably never did those things. We did all kinds of dumb things when I was a kid. We had BB gun fights. We did all kinds of things. We shot bow and arrows up in the air and looked for where they were going to land. And then they would land next to us, and we were like, that's probably not a good idea. We better do something else. So I should have been gone years ago. all the dumb things that I've done. We'd jump off the house roof. We did all kinds of things, you know, as kids. But here we are. But I think God protects us in those times. He shapes us where we know it was Him. We know we didn't do it ourselves. We know there's nothing we could have done, but He protected us in those circumstances. He speaks to us and He directs us. Sometimes He corrects us and convicts us. And sometimes He does things to get our attention when we're too stubborn to listen to Him. Acts 9, this is where Saul is breathing out threats and murdering against the disciples. And he went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues to Damascus. So if he found anybody who was there in the way, which is what the Christian movement was at that time, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" So audibly, he heard this voice. But the interesting thing is, I don't think anybody else around heard it. Spoke to him. He heard it directly. God speaks to us personally. Sometimes it's just to you, or just to you, or just to you. Not everybody else. He wants you to hear this message. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads," and we're going to talk about what that means. So he, trembling and astonished, said to the Lord, "What do you want me to do?" The Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city. You'll be told what you must do." And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." And he says it again there. I was looking that up this week, and the Patriot Ledger says that Saul of Tarsus was on a rampage at this point, so incensed by the rapid spread of Christianity that he's gone to the extreme measure to stamp it out. He's traveling all around the nation of Israel and even into other nations to find followers of the way and put them in prison or to kill them. Traveling to Damascus at the height of his noonday sun, Jesus Christ appears to Saul in such an luminous brilliance, the sun is blotted out in comparison, and Saul's actually blinded by it. Jesus says to Saul, "Why are you persecuting me?" Anybody ever tried to look in the sun? Anybody do dumb things? How long can you look in the sun? We did all kinds of dumb things as kids. I don't know. You probably didn't do those things. We were probably bored. We were in the country. We didn't have anything to do. So he was blinded by this light. It was so bright. Now this jars Saul, and he's been persecuting Christians, and this obviously powerful, incredible thing happens. The Christians he's gone after previously had determination to follow Jesus, but they were weak as human beings, and they succumbed to the sword and to torture. And now he hears a voice talking specifically to him. And the Bible teaches that the true church, those who have been born again and through faith in Christ, are the body of Christ. And we represent that. We're his hands and his feet. So Saul, when he's persecuting the church, he's really persecuting Christ, isn't he? People go against the church are going against the Lord, not just people. Jesus doesn't take it too kindly. And he knocks Saul basically off his horse and puts him on the ground and has him kind of humbled before him and says, "You know, basically, I need you to do something, and if you don't, you're gonna be this way the rest of your life." So it says, "It's hard for you to kick against the goad." So I looked that up. What does that mean? What's a goad? Anybody know what a goad is? It's a stick that you use to prod the rear end of an ox. And if they tried to kick against it, what would happen? They'd get poked by that, right? So he said, "It's hard to kick against that. You're being prodded." So what he's saying basically is, Paul, you've known what you're supposed to do. You've known what I want you to do. You have a conscience that you know that I'm here, that I'm real, that I'm true, and you're fighting against that. That's why you're persecuting the Christians. This is this guy's idea. He said, "You're trying to kick against what I want you to do. So I basically have to get you to a point where you can't do anything else. So I'm going to put you in this position where you're blind, and you actually have to go to somebody who believes in me to be healed." And the guy he went to didn't want to heal him. Remember that part of the story? "I don't want to heal him. He's a murderer." And God says, "I'm going to use this guy. I'm going to transform him into something. People know he's a murderer. That's okay. But when they see that I can transform murderers, even him, I can transform everybody else." That's why sometimes we see people that maybe have been in bad situations or lived a horrible life. When they get transformed, they have a big impact because people knew what they were before and how God had used and transformed them. And they say, "Well, if he can do that with them, he can do that with me as well." So the Damascus Road encounter showed Saul who he was and who he was working against, and he showed him a new way, a way of salvation. Maybe you've had an encounter where God convicted you or got your attention. Here's some ways that God may have personally encountered you. The moment you accepted Christ would have been a personal encounter where it was you and God, not anybody else around. It was you and him, and him saying, you need me and I need you. The moment you started a relationship or a relationship ends. A lot of times starting it's fine, but ending it's sometimes hard. But when you know God says this isn't right, and you got to say this is the end, then you say this is the end. The moment you discover you have an illness. Maybe it's terminal illness. We're all terminal, right? Maybe some are going to go sooner than others, but it's the way you handle those situations when God says you're going to be okay. I know Ernie had some kind of a blood cancer for years and years and years and kept going. And some people live with an illness. Maybe you got a new job or you lost one. Maybe you moved to a new area. A whole bunch of other things where God may encounter you and say, this is what I want you to do, or this is what I don't want you not to do. So we need to know God is able to have an encounter with anybody, from unbelievers who are passionate to those who are passionate. And he can send his angels at any time. Personal encounters are God's subtle way of getting our attention, can serve as a sweet reminder that he's near. Sometimes you just feel a peace and a comfort come over you when you're in a situation and you don't know what to do, and you just feel at peace, and people are like, how are you at peace? And you're like, because God just gave me a peace about this. It's going to be okay. So here's the message, basically in a nutshell. When you have a God encounter, listen and do what he says. Why? Because he wants to use you to be his witness. He wants to bless you, and he wants to bless others, and he wants to bring honor and attention to himself. It's not about you. It's about him. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord, that you do have God encounters with us. You personally speak to us. You touch us. You shape us. You mold us. You give us intuition of things. You give us ideas. You bring things to our attention. Sometimes you correct us. You turn us a different direction. You make us go another way because we're not supposed to go that way. So we pray you be with us this morning, Lord. Help us to recognize when you're speaking, to listen and do what you say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand this morning and sing, shall we?
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, lead and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Let's sing that chorus.
Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Let's go out and serve this week, shall we? It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Have a good week.